That was incredible, thank you. At Sunday school, they were teaching how God created everything, including human beings. Little Johnny seemed especially intent when the Sunday school teacher told him how Eve was created out of Adam's rib. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down when he was ill and said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" And little Johnny responded, "I have a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife." And some men would say, "And I've had that pain in my side ever since." Yeah. As we have been journeying through these 6 weeks of Lent, we have been reflecting on the story of Jesus as it pertains to David Rico's book, The Five Things We Cannot Change. The first week, we pondered the first given of life, that everything changes and ends. The next week, we looked at things do not always go according to plan. And last week, we reflected on the third given, life is not fair. And today we ponder the fourth given that little Johnny experienced, that pain is a part of life. And isn't that true? I have never met a human who has not experienced pain, except maybe Sid. Pain is an inevitable part of our human existence, whether it is physical or mental, when our minds are torturing us, our thoughts are torturing us, or emotional pain, when our hearts are heavy in grief or loss, or self-loathing, or whatever our emotional pain we might be bearing. In fact, when you think about it, our lives are literally born out of pain from the very beginning, when a woman undergoes the process of laboring to give birth. It's called labor for a reason. It's hard work to give birth. And some humans seem to have experienced more pain than others. Small babies who have had to experience multiple surgeries from the time of their birth. Children abused by parents or caregivers who are supposed to protect them. Teenagers or adults stricken with mental health issues due to chemical imbalances or trauma. Things that we still don't know very much about. Broken relationships cause tremendous emotional pain, grief and loss. Diseases and illnesses cause tremendous physical pain. And most people in this room recognize that the process of aging itself brings its own various levels of pain. In our scripture this morning, the words of Jesus ring as true. The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and suffer many things. Jesus often refers to himself as the Son of Man, emphasizing the fact that he is a human being. He is not a demigod or a god. He is fully human. And human beings suffer many things. It is our fourth given. Pain is a part of life. And this scripture and others like it have been used in Christianity to imply that there is a divine intentionality behind the suffering of Jesus, that God has purposefully devised a divine plan for Jesus to undergo pain for the sake of the rest of us, in order for us to be redeemed from our sinfulness and be saved from ourselves. The challenge of this Christian belief is what comes with it, is what follows. That if God needed Jesus to suffer, then perhaps God needs us to suffer too. I've heard individuals ask me, what did I do that God is punishing me with this? Whether it be the loss or undergoing a physical pain like a stroke or an illness. As some contemporary Christians have pointed out, the Christian belief that God would purposefully send Jesus into the world to suffer and die on a cross for the redemption of humankind poses all sorts of problems. As some contemporary theologians have pointed out, it tacitly implies that God is some kind of monstrous parent that is performing some kind of divine child abuse. And therefore, what are the implications of that? If God can purposefully send his own son to die, then does that somehow justify the way we inflict suffering upon others? As Dorothy Soley, a 20th century theologian, pointed out in her book, Suffering, God's plan for a crucified Christ justifies the beating and abuse of children. It justifies the sending of young men and women into war. It can be used to justify human torture of other humans, and in some horrific way justifies and excuses intentionality behind humans inflicting pain on other humans. If God can inflict pain, then so can we. If that is the meaning of Jesus' death on the cross as a divine plan of God for the redemption of a sinful world, no wonder. No wonder we have whole generations that first of all reject the existence of a God like that, and secondly refuse to step inside a church that glorifies pain and that worships a God who demands suffering. As one person commented to me, why would I want to worship a God that seems to relish and ravenously demand human suffering? No wonder our churches are struggling if we have somehow conveyed the meaning of Jesus' suffering on a cross as God's way of redeeming the sinfulness of the world and have put the responsibility of Jesus' death on God. So what is another way we can interpret the meaning of Jesus' death on a cross then? Why does Jesus say the Son of Man must suffer many things? And why does he get angry with Peter and speak harshly to him, calling him Satan or the adversary or the enemy? You'll notice in that passage that we don't know what Peter actually says to Jesus. It's anyone's guess. Perhaps Peter was in denial about the whole gravity of the situation and says, no, teacher, just because the government killed John the Baptist and had his on a platter, that doesn't mean Herod's going to do the same thing to you. And he's avoiding and denying the whole seriousness of what's coming down. Or maybe Peter was just trying to cheer Jesus up. And maybe that really annoyed Jesus. Because you know, when you're in pain and you're scared and you're telling people what you think is going to happen, people say, oh no, that's not going to happen. Oh no, that's fine. And try to cheer you up. You know how annoying that can be. When you're in pain and people try to minimize it or make it all better when it's not better at all. We don't know why Jesus gets upset, but it is clear that Jesus is trying to teach his followers that pain is a part of life. It's a part of his journey, and it's a part of their journey, and it's a part of the human journey. And we realize that Jesus' response to pain is accepting the reality that pain is a part of the human journey. And that part of being human, part of growing up into spiritual maturity, is accepting that at certain crossroads in our lives, we will need to enter into that pain. Not run from it, not deny it, not pretty it up. The part of being human, a grown-up human, is accepting that at certain crossroads in our life, we will need to pick up the pain accept the pain, own the pain, and bear certain crosses in our lives. Why? Not because God sent Jesus to die for our sins, or because God has sent us our own pain or challenges, but because that is the dualistic nature of life on earth. The earth is imperfect, and it throws up earthquakes and fires caused by lightning and erupting volcanoes and hurricanes and destroys human life. And human nature can be just as destructive. There is both pleasure and pain on planet Earth, and pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. In that suffering, as someone said to me, suffering happens when we refuse to accept what is. We make it far worse for ourselves when we try to avoid our pain by numbing ourselves with alcohol or drugs or denial, and there is a cost to us when we refuse to do the work of processing our pain. Ask anyone who has been courageous enough to do the work of 12-step recovery. The story of Jesus is a story of Jesus experiencing human pain. Jesus is mocked, humiliated, beaten, tortured, and executed on a cross, not because God put him there for the redemption of the world. God already loves the world and everything in it. And the Creator is already the home from which we come and the home to which we will all return. We are told God is love, and love doesn't punish or inflict pain. God doesn't kill Jesus. Jesus is executed by humans because we humans can be full of pain. And pain causes pride and envy and anger and resentment and greed and fear. And because we think that inflicting suffering on other humans will somehow take away our fear and alleviate our pain and help us to avoid the truth about our own darkness, that's why Jesus dies. Jesus confronted the powers that be with the truth about their own humanity, about their own fear, about their own greed, about their own envy, about their own need for power, and that made them angry. And they didn't want to hear it, so they silenced him, and they silenced everyone who opposed them. The best way to silence voices of truth is to either ignore them or get rid of them. Jesus died on the cross because of human sinfulness, not for it. For we all have to take responsibility for our own failings. That's what growing up into spiritual maturity is all about. So if God is not behind our pain, what do we do with it? What's the purpose of it? Thankfully, the story of Jesus doesn't end with suffering. Jesus says to them, I'm going to go through all this pain. I'm going to go through it all. Then on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Now, we don't know if Jesus knew that on the third day he would rise again, or if these words were written after the fact and put in the mouth of Jesus. But we do know that is exactly what happens to Jesus. That after Jesus goes through this agonizing experience, after he goes through that and dies, a number of his followers experience moments, fleeting moments, liminal moments, when they either saw or sensed or felt Jesus' spirit and presence, his accompaniment with them. So profoundly they felt his presence with them that they leave their locked rooms of fear and dare to go out and tell the world that he was risen. The story of Jesus is a story about going through pain and suffering, not running from it or avoiding it, but entering into it and experiencing it and coming out the other side of it transformed for the better. Jesus' story is reminding us that joy does follow the pain. God didn't make Jesus go through pain and suffering. Humans did. But Jesus tried to hold on to the love and the trust of God, that somehow God would work and move to bring new life and hope and possibility out of the pain. And that's exactly what God does. On Good Friday, humans said no to Jesus and they killed him. And on Easter morning, God said yes to Jesus. God said yes to love and goodness and raised Jesus to new life. The story of Jesus answers the question of both why and how to go through pain. We all go through pain not because God is inflicting it, but for some bizarre reason, it is through the journey and process of life. We somehow, human beings, need to go through an experience of pain in order to be transformed. That's the mystery of life. But Jesus also shows us how to deal with the pain. Not to take revenge, not to attack in return, not to blame or judge or condemn, but to accept the pain and use it to make us spiritually stronger, to grow us, to strengthen us into wiser, more compassionate, more loving human beings. And that is an intentional choice. We can either be defeated by our pain or we can deal with it to rise again. This past Friday and Saturday, on the weekend, Ken Fanning and I, as part of Presbytery, got on a bus in Qualicum and drove up the 4 hours on a bus to Port Hardy to experience what will be one of our last Presbytery meetings. And it was a very powerful meeting because the minister there, Alistair, he's been working with the First Nations folks that are in Port Hardy. And he's been meeting with them and just listening to their stories. And so we were privileged to have a group of First Nations folks from Port Hardy come and be with us for the meeting and share their story with us. And we listened intently as they shared openly and honestly their stories of being taken from the mainland and being moved by the government, the Canadian government, taken from their homes, placed in the northern part of Vancouver Island, the government burning their homes there so they couldn't go back, and having to start life all over again on the northern part of Vancouver Island. They shared stories of residential schools and their experience of being beaten, physically abused, sexually abused. They shared their experiences of going through addiction in order to try to suppress and repress the pain, that emotional and physical pain that they had endured. We watched a movie called Pentlatch Keepers, about how the present generations of First Nations people are trying to recover all the things, the culture, the spirituality, the traditions that were lost when the colonization of Europeans trying to get rid of the native culture in this land. And how they're recovering it, and how they're struggling to try to find the culture because no one can remember the potlatch. They have to rebuild it. They have to interview people trying to go back and trying to figure out, trying to recover their spirituality and culture. And the strength of these young people trying to rise up again after the decimation, the genocide of the First Nations people. Realized listening to the stories, and I've heard these stories, but to listen one at a time, their openness and honesty and humility and their doing it out. They said, "I'm angry," but there was no evidence of anger. They were just sharing their story. And they were so hospitable and so gracious. They taught all of us there that pain, while it is a part of life, it is not inflicted by God. It is inflicted by humans to humans. But that God can do something with that pain. God can bring new hope and new possibilities and new life and healing when we share our pain with one another. And that's what the healing and pastoral care ministry does at Knox. It's bringing out the pain. It's sharing the pain, whether people come for healing touch or whether they share their stories. When we share our stories of pain with one another, healing happens, like healing happened on Friday and Saturday in Port Hardy. As the minister of Port Alberni, Minnie Hornich, said when she talked about the incredible work that that congregation is doing at Alberni United Church in the work of truth and reconciliation and bringing First Nations people and having conversations, she said one First Nations woman said to her, "I didn't know that anyone cared." We are able to go through our particular pain much better when we are surrounded by people who listen to our pain and who demonstrate genuineness of care. That is our work as followers of Jesus, to take up our cross, take up our pain, embrace it, follow Jesus, and try to share it. Then will healing come. Jesus needed his disciples to listen to his pain, not to ignore it or deny it or suggest he avoid it. Because as Jesus reminds us, we need to accept the pain that life brings to us, to pick up our crosses, and to follow the example of Jesus that we might experience the rising of our own hearts and the uplifting and transformation of our souls. Pain is a part of life. Jesus understood that. Our First Nations people know that. You all understand that. But if we choose to accept and process the pain of life rather than run from it, and if we choose to pick it up and attend to it and help others carry their pain, their cross, then like the carbon from which you and I are made, deep in the earth that undergoes enormous heat and pressure in the depths of the earth, like that, when we undergo the pressure and the pain and the heat of that, our souls can emerge like the carbon and rise like diamonds. Our souls, brilliant in the light of the sun, shining ever so brightly and refracting and reflecting the light of our God and reflecting into the world all that goodness and all that love and all that grace. And then, my friends, that's when healing of the world comes. May it be so. Amen.